just going to take a few minutes this morning and talk about joy. And I titled this message, I've Got the Joy, because coming off of last week's message, where I talked about God using our emotions, and I referenced that scripture about Jesus and how the Holy Spirit filled him with joy, and then the fruit of the Spirit. Coming off of that, I just felt a real stir in my heart from the Lord to kind of go a little bit deeper in talking about joy. And so we're going to begin this morning in the book of Romans together. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 16, it says, therefore, do not let what you know is good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Right? That's not what it's about. This is what it's about. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. One more time. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, and it's not on the screen there, but you can write it down. He goes on in chapter 15 and verse 13 to say, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that. I love that the Lord fills us with joy. Now, if you're like me, you follow the news at all, you know, right, that the U.S. just jumped into what's going on in the Middle East, right? And your natural human heart may have a tendency towards fear and towards doubt and towards concern. But here's the thing, church family, God was not caught by surprise. The Lord didn't wake up yesterday and go, oh, Israel's bombing, you know, Iran. You know, America's bombing Iran. That wasn't, the Lord foreknew that all of these things were taking place. And so although the world may be filled with fear, we are not of this world. We're not of this world. Right? The moment you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, the Bible says you became ambassadors for Christ in this world. In other words, everywhere you set your feet is heavenly territory. It is. It's heavenly territory. Right? And so as believers, the Lord calls us, right, to be what? To be joyful, to be filled with joy, to have joy. That's why it's one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5, right? The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law, right? There's no law against joy. There's no law against peace. Why? Because laws are against things that are against joy and peace. Right? But when you're walking in peace, when you're walking in joy, then even those things that others may fear, even those things that may stir others' hearts towards negativity and stuff like that, doesn't have the same effect on us. And we see that modeled so tremendously through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Right? Because in Luke chapter 10, it talks about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, and Jesus went on to say what he was thinking. Now, here's the thing. Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. But do you know, church family, Jesus knew his purpose on this earth. He knew from the time he was born. He knew as he grew up as a young man, honoring his natural father, his earthly father in Joseph, but also honoring his true father in heaven, God, right? Jesus knew all of his life was pointed towards one thing, death. Death. all of Jesus' life was pointed towards defeating death, hell, and the grave. And nonetheless, the Bible speaks often of Jesus being filled with joy. I don't know about you, but for me, I might have a hard time having a lot of joy in my life if I know the time I'm going to die. Right? I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, I might struggle being joyful in the Holy Spirit knowing that my days are numbered. But Jesus didn't. Why? Because he fully entrusted himself to God. He fully entrusted himself to the Father. And he knew that the Father was with him and the Father was for him. So he knew nothing could happen outside of its appointed time. Jesus knew that the Father was lining things up for everything to take place a certain way so that at the perfect time, that's what Scripture tells us, at the perfect time, he would die for humanity. And so because of that, let me challenge you. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if the Lord had the perfect time for Jesus, the Lord knows all time for us and can keep us in him until it's our time. Right? We should be so free from the fears of this world, so free from the concerns of this world, so free from the chaos of this world. Because we're set in the Lord. Coming out of the worship night last night, Finley went out with the youth to get ice cream, and I picked her up afterwards, and I said, hey, we gotta go grab some stuff at Walmart. And she was like, okay. And so we go to Walmart, and as we're walking in together, there's a guy walking in front of us carrying a baseball bat. And he's just carrying a baseball bat around, like, you know, like on his shoulder, just carrying around a baseball bat. And Finley goes, Dad, that guy's carrying around a baseball bat. And I go, yeah. And she goes, that's weird. And I go, it is a little bit weird. You know, and he's just in the store shopping with a baseball bat on his shoulder. And I was like, man, like, is where he's raised at the scale that he has to carry around a baseball bat at night to feel safe? You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what's going on in this person's heart and mind. But Finley was walking with me, and she's like, yeah, I'm not worried, Dad. I've got you. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. You think I'm that great of a protector, you know? I was like, thanks, Lord. She really thinks a lot of me, you know? And we're, like, going through the store, and at one point, we come around the corner, and there's a lady who literally has her shirt pulled up, and it's just full of cats. Just full of cats. There's just cat heads. Like, real cats, like, sticking out of this lady's shirt, and she's just walking around shopping, putting stuff in her cart, and, like, pushing it along, holding a shirt full of, and Finley goes, Dad, those are real cats. And I go, those are real cats. And we leave, and we're walking across the parking lot, and Finley goes, man, Dad, tonight was a lot of firsts for me. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, I danced with Oliver in worship to the Lord, and I didn't get tired. And then I saw a guy carrying around a baseball bat and a lady with a shirt full of cats. And I was like, I was just chuckling as we're walking across the parking lot together. I was laughing, and I was like, Lord, you're like, the joy of the Lord should be on us no matter where we are or what we're doing. And in that moment, having that joy in the Lord with my daughter meant the world to me. Because I knew that in the purity of heart, my daughter felt at peace, right? Even in situations that she didn't understand. And that's how it should be with us and the Lord. I love this quote. They're going to put it on the screen for you from Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry said, the joy of the Lord will arm us against the assault of our spiritual enemies. The joy of the Lord will arm us against the assault of our spiritual enemies. The joy of the Lord provides for us. It meets us. It covers over us. It brings us through in ways other things can't and don't. Listen, growing up, my babysitter was my aunt, my dad's younger sister. And I know you all at times think I'm like really high energy and all of that. Well, this is largely why. Because growing up, my aunt, who was my babysitter, drove a Monte Carlo, right? The vinyl top Monte Carlo. Y'all, some of y'all know those 80s vinyl top Monte Carlos, right? With the big 350 motor in them, right? She drove a vinyl top Monte Carlo, wore a leather jacket, and was an amateur photographer for life. Right, and she would ride, drive around town with AC/DC, like blasting in the car, with me in the baby seat in the back, with a bottle, a baby bottle, filled with coffee with milk and cream. Right? And that was my childhood. My parents are at work, and my aunt's just like, you know, and we're just like rolling around town, and I'm like hammering on the baby bottle, you know. And like that was my upbringing, right? Like that was what I grew up with. And so for me, like, as I got older, like, just that wild joy, like, that unabashed, that unashamed joy in the Lord has always been there because I was raised with a family that loved the Lord. My aunt loved the Lord. My grandparents, my grandfather was an amazing man of God, loved the Lord. And so I had these models before me of the joy of the Lord. My grandparents, during the height of the revival years, when I was in Pensacola at the outpouring, my grandparents would come. They would drive down from St. Louis for days at a time in their 60s and 70s to be in the revival services. And they would be there 5-6 hours just worshiping the Lord. I always used to know when God was moving on my granddad because his hand would shake like this while he had it raised in worship, right? If he was just worshiping the Lord, he was good. But if that hand started shaking, I was like, oh, grandpa's about to get Jesus, right? Like there was just something that like ratcheted things up. And as a young man, I grew up in this love and this passion for the Lord. My first job was as a maintenance man at my home church. I've shared this with you. I worked as the assistant maintenance man so that I could eat lunches in the sanctuary before the Lord. I would just sit on the stage in the sanctuary of my home church and eat my lunch at 15 and 16 years old and just worship the Lord with nobody around. And there was such a joy in my heart to do that. There was such an overflow, right? And the reason that I believe was there was because as a young man, I started setting my eyes after the Lord and not the world. I started setting my eyes after the things of God. And so then the joy of the Lord became a staple in my life. And I want to talk about three different areas really quickly, right, that joy should be in our lives. Right, first, we have to understand that joy is found in God. Right, joy is found in God. So when we're with the Lord, joy should be an outflow of that. Psalm 16:11, it says, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Right, David's saying joy is found in the Lord's presence. And some of you, you come in on Sundays and you're like dragging to get here to church, right? You're like, oh, it's Sunday. I'm so happy I'm in church. I need this, Lord. Oh my, there you are, God. It's so nice to talk and feel your presence, right? Like you come in on Sunday and part of the reason why that's the case is because Monday through Saturday, you aren't individually choosing to spend time in the Lord. And so because you don't individually choose to spend time in the Lord, when you drag into church on Sunday, your heart, your soul, your spirit is so desperate to encounter the Lord that it's just like, right? Like eating up everything it can. Or the flip opposite. You come in on Sunday and you're so grumpy and you're so like, you know, aggravated that this isn't right or that isn't right or this isn't the way you want it or that isn't the way you want it. Listen, if you've been a believer more than 10 years, church isn't just for you. I'm just being so serious, right? If you've known the Lord more than a decade, you should on your own be so engaged with God and growing with the Lord that when you come into this place on Sundays, it's for the community to be touched by the Lord corporately, not just because you're desperate and dry. I get as a young believer, if you haven't known the Lord a year or 2 years, you're still growing in your faith. I understand that for you, this is a process. But for some, like myself, who've been a Christian over 30 years, I don't need to drag into church on Sundays to meet the Lord. I'm not, I'm not like, oh, Jesus, please, I need you so bad, right? Like, that's not where I'm at in my life because I'm choosing in my day to day to meet the Lord. And yes, this is what I do for a living. But some of the greatest models that I have followed in my life were working class men that modeled Jesus Christ in their workplaces day after day after day. Growing up, one of the men that I really look forward to and spending time with and learning from, he worked at John Deere on the green side. If you know, John Deere has the yellow side and the green side. He worked in the green side. But he would get up every morning at 4:30 to be in the Word for half an hour before he got ready to go to work. Every day. And at work then, he was a model employee, a model to other men, leading other guys to the Lord as he sought the Lord. And it was tremendous to see the level of character. Sometimes I would go and stay in his home with he and his wife and their kids, and I would get up early in the morning, and his Bible would still be laying out with a notepad and stuff where he had used his half hour of time and got up to rush to work. It was awesome to see that because he found what he needed in the Lord. And that's what we're called to do. Right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Right? The angels have seen God, and still a tremendous number of them fell with Satan. We have not yet seen the Lord, but there is something in our hearts that's stirred with this inexpressible and glorious joy because we know the Lord. We know, we feel his presence in our lives. And that leads me to number two. Worship to God should express joy. Whew. Let me say that one more time. Worship to God should express joy. If you come in here on Sunday or on Wednesday or when we do a special meeting, and in worship, the Lord can't tell if you're smiling, then no one else in the room can tell if you're smiling either. Right? If the Lord can't tell where you're at, we can't tell where you're at. Worship is intended to express joy to the Lord. I love that my daughters danced last night and this morning because in their hearts, it was just pure joy before the Lord. I wish some of y'all would get that free. And let me say this, in love, I've had so many different members of our congregation come to me and go, man, pastor, in service, sometimes I just really want to jump or I really want to dance, but I don't want to be the only one. Let me just tell you at this point, I've heard from enough of you. If one of you start, you won't be alone. Can I say that? If you'll actually get there, you won't be alone. Right? Because there are others around that are also wanting the same thing you're wanting. In their hearts, they're just unsure if they're ready to lead the way. And so if there's not one leading the way, but it's all of us entering in together, it makes it that much easier. It makes it that much easier. I loved it. Last night I was dancing with Oliver to the point I like had to stop and like, I was like out of breath. I was like, man, I got to work out more. Like, I'm not ready. But he was loving it. He was loving it. And it was just before the Lord. Well, that's why oftentimes church family, as much as I like to be up here, I'm usually in the back because I just want to be with the Lord. I just want to be able to lie down or kneel or do different things if I feel like the Lord's speaking to me to do that. And I like to move around. If you haven't figured out yet, I like to move around. And I just sometimes I'll pace the back of the room to feel where I think the Holy Spirit is trying to take us as a community. And I'll tell you, I only believe it's up. Right? I've been seeking the Lord, and there are some things on the horizon that I'm so excited about with us here in Bethel. And I believe the Lord is ratcheting things up. He's turning up the intensity. He's turning up the heat. And I believe our community is ready to go where the Lord leads us to go. We can't have a massive influx of lost souls if we don't have a foundation ready to help them grow in their faith. We can't. We can't see, like, we want to do street evangelism and all these different kinds of things. Listen, I love you all. There are some of you, I can't even get you to come to church every other week. And we want to, like, draw in all these unsaved and all the lost and be an impact in the city and do these different things. When those people come in and they're looking around to find someone to help them grow and to find someone to help them connect and to find someone to help them when they're struggling, if they look around and can't find the people that they think are a part of their family, then eventually they will fade off. But when we have that consistency, when we have that passion together after the Lord, then when people come in, they look around and go, oh, these people are consistent. These people are actually living out what they say. I want to be a part of this. And in the meantime, right, we have life. I understand that we have a life. We can't be here all the time. But listen, there's a difference in having like family vacation or something like that and just staying home on Sunday morning because you don't feel like going to church. Those are different things, right? Those are different things. And so when we come in, right, let there be this joy in unity. Let there be this joy in fellowship that brings us together to lift up the name of the Lord so that on days like today, when we see breakthrough and healing come, we're ready for God to do what he wants to do. I didn't know if I was going to get to preach this morning or not. And if I didn't, we're okay. One more sermon from me won't change your life. A touch from God will change your eternity. And that's really what we need. That's what we need. Right? And so the psalmist, right? In Psalm 100, what does he say? He says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Come before him with joyful songs. That's what we do when we come together in this place. That's what last night was. That's what this morning was. That's why I told Matt, like, extend worship this morning because I genuinely believe we need more of that. And now I understand there are some in here, right? The noise level may be impactful to, you know, your ears or hearing aids or things like that. We have earplugs available in the foyer. If you have hearing aids, you have the great joy and ability of turning them up or down, right? To be able to set sound levels. But as a whole, I want worship to get stronger in Bethel. I want worship to get more intense in Bethel. I want worship to go up in Bethel, not down. And when Matt and I talked together this week, I felt that he was in the same place. He came to me and was like, Pastor, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? And I said, Matt, go for it. I love it. Right? Last night, Chris was like thumping out like a bass riff up here. And I was like, yeah, Chris, when I came here, you were just a sound guy. Now you're up there like twanging the bass like a pro. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. Right? We did so much worship, we had to change drummers. One couldn't stay the whole course. We had to swap out. It was awesome. Even the worship team at times, on stage, out, sitting, kneeling in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And as your pastor, I want for it to ever always be about Jesus. We don't need fancy lighting or smoke or cool colors or any of that kind of stuff to bring people into church. I want people to come to church because they found Jesus here and their lives are being changed. That's why I want people to come to church. In the meantime, we take good care of what the Lord has given us, right? Right? The Lord has given us a beautiful facility. We take good care of it, but it's not the driving factor for anything we do. The presence of the living God is the driving factor. Because I want to celebrate the impact of God. And that leads me to number three. That leads me to number three, which is this: heaven expresses joy. Now, you may say, well, Pastor Farrell, I know that heaven expresses joy. Like, they're always dancing around the throne of God, and they're always worshiping the Lord. They are, but there's one other particular place that heaven expresses joy. And Jesus talked about it in the parable of the lost coin in Luke 15. And when he wraps up that parable in verse 10, he says, in the same way, right, the woman rejoicing over the coin, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Church family, all of heaven rejoices. All of heaven is filled with joy when the lost get saved. When the lost get saved. And so, if we want to join with worship on that scale, if we want to have all of heaven celebrate and lift up the name of the Lord, then as a community, we should be attempting to impact people's lives in a way that they want to get saved. Right? Our joy isn't just for us alone. Our joy is for others to see that they're then drawn to the one that brings us joy. Right, I love my wife. We celebrate 20 years next year. And I'm more in love with her now than I've ever been. And so when I meet someone that I think would connect with my wife, what do I want to do? I'm like, oh, I need to get you together with Sharon. Like, you guys would really get along. Listen, we've met the greatest love we could ever have in our lives through Jesus Christ. It should be our desire to introduce others to him so they get to know the love that we love. So they get to know the greatness of the God that we follow. So that all of heaven can rejoice and celebrate because a new name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yes, in the midst of that, the world is going crazy. In the midst of that, the bad is getting worse. In the midst of that, all of that is still happening. But as sons and daughters of God, we can't allow those things to steal our joy. If we keep our hearts set after the Lord, then the people around us will look at us and go, what is it about you that's different? Everyone else is freaked out about the stock market. Everyone else is concerned, you know, about, you know, bank rates. Everyone else is worried about war in the Middle East or nuclear fallout or all these different things. How can you be so happy and so joyful and so peaceful and you get to tell them it's because of the Lord? Because you have the greatest joy. You have the greatest joy in knowing that if God be for you, what good does it do any to be against you? You have the great joy of knowing that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have the great joy of knowing your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so you don't fear the things of this world because you know your eternity is sure. That's joy. That's joy. And sometimes that joy might lead you to get a little dance on, you know, like get your two-step, Christian two-step going, right? Sometimes that joy might lead you to roam the room. Sometimes that joy may lead you to put worship on in your house and blast it. I loved this week in our team meeting on Monday, Matt was telling us that he had some people doing work at his house this week. And he was in the living room playing his piano while they were working. And one of them was under the house and one of them was outside. And he took a break and went outside and was chatting with the guy. And he said, oh, I'm sorry if it's bothering you, if the music's bothering you. And he said, from under the house, the guy goes, no, keep it up, like that. And the guy that was standing there was like, man, I don't know that kind of music. What is that music you're playing? And Matt has the opportunity to share with him that this is worship music, that this is music to God, right? Because the guy didn't even understand it. He didn't have a grid for it. But what a joy that even though that unsaved guy was crawling around in the dirt, in the crawl space under Matt's house, he wanted him to keep worshiping the Lord because he liked the way it made him feel, right? Even the world knows they don't like how they feel. The problem is they're waiting to actually understand that so that they can come into what will radically change them and bring joy and bring peace and bring patience and all these things into their heart and life. That's what they're waiting for. And largely they won't find that without us. Largely they won't find that without us. And so whether you have the boldness to like really witness to someone or whether your model of witnessing is just inviting them to come on Sundays, that's also okay. We created little cards there on the counter out there in the foyer, little invite cards that you can give out to people, right? And so if you see someone and you're like, man, I don't know if I am bold enough to share the faith with them. I don't know if I'm bold enough to witness to them on the spot. You can just go up and give them this card and be like, hey, would you like to come to my church on Sunday? And listen, at the end, what's the worst that they're going to say? Like, blankety blank blank, no. Like, that's the worst, right? That's the worst. But what happens when they say, yeah, I've never been invited to church before. Yeah, I would love to try your church. Yeah, I would be very open to joining you. Do you know it's been statistically shown 1 in 7 people will accept an invitation to church? 1 in 7. 1 in 7 will accept an invitation. That's amazing to me. And so then I have to ask, right? Are we uniting with the joy of heaven in trying to impact our community with the fullness of the gospel? Are we out there showing people the greatness of God so that when they come into this place, their lives are touched and changed? If not, then let today and this message be that turning point for you. That coming out of this, you're like, yeah, I will witness to people. Yes, I will share my faith. Yes, I'm going to like pursue expressing joy with all of heaven when I see people get saved. If I could get the worship team to make their way back up. The joy that the Lord has for us is one that can change everything about who we are. Right? You enter into that joy, it makes you more peaceful. You enter into that joy, it makes you more patient. You enter into that joy and you realize how amazing and how great and how wonderful God is. And so this morning, in just a minute, I'm going to open it up and I'm going to invite anyone that wants to come forward. We're going to close today's service in worship to the Lord, in joyful worship, right? I want to lift up the name of the Lord. Let's do that second song that you guys did. Yeah. So if I can have everyone stand with me, I'm just going to pray over you. Take the scriptures that I shared this morning. Go home, right? Look at it. Read it. Allow it to like really sink in to your spirit, into your soul, right? And yes, the world is crazy. The world is chaotic. It's going to get worse. But where are you setting your eyes? Are you setting your eyes on the Lord or are you setting your eyes on the world? Are you setting your eyes on Fox News or are you setting your eyes on the scriptures that were given to us by the living God? Where do you set your eyes? Where do you set your mind? Where do you set your heart? Right? And if you set it in the right place, the Lord will respond. And you'll see that the Lord can give you joy even in the midst of difficulty. That's why Philippians 2 says, and for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. For the joy, what was the joy? The presence of the Father. What was the joy? Hearing God say, well done. That was the joy set before him. Jesus was willing to go through the cross for the joy. And so what are we willing to press through? What dark valley are we willing to go through to enter into the presence of the Lord and that table that he has prepared for us? And so this is what I want to do. I want to open up the front. Feel free to come down. We're going to worship together for a couple of minutes, and then I'll come up and close in prayer over everyone. But before I close, I just really feel like I want to worship the Lord together. And so here's the thing, right? I'm asking for you to come out of your seats, come out of your pews, give yourself some stretching space, give yourself a little room, right? You don't have to come to the front, go to the back, go to the sides, go to the aisles, right? But find a place for the next couple of minutes we can really worship the Lord in joy together.